L is yep, for the way.
Yep, that's who you think it is. The Grimace mug. The Hello Kitty keychain. Barbie herself. For a limited time, your favorite McDonald's collectibles filled with memories and magic are now on collectible cups. Get one of six when you order a collector's meal at McDonald's with your choice of a Big Mac or 10-piece McNuggets. Come get your cup while you still can. And participate in McDonald's for a limited time while supplies last.
Get to Smoothie King today and try the new blueberry, raspberry, or watermelon lemonade smoothies. They're all made with real fruit, real juice, and no bad stuff. Just check out the no-no list at smoothieking.com. Try the new lemonade smoothies at Smoothie King today.
Hi, this is The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi, the founder of The Complete Herbal Guide. And today I'm very excited because I have a special guest with me. His name is Dr. Scales. Dr. Scales has always exhibited a passion for both achieving and serving. He began his academic journey at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. Then he distinguished himself as a student at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. Dr. Scales has always enjoyed rich healthcare experiences and training, including a pediatric residency at the University of Chicago and a dermatology residency at Bowman Gray School of Medicine in Wake Forest University. The breadth of his experience gained from these and other opportunities lay the foundation for him establishing himself in a private practice. Dr. Scales is currently a dermatologist with a practice in Durham, North Carolina, and he has created a line of shaving, waxing products called Dr. Clear Skin. And Dr. Scales, I'm so glad to have you on the show. And why don't you tell people a little about yourself and what you do?
Very good. I am a dermatologist who practices in Durham, North Carolina. Durham is known for being the Research Triangle area where we have Duke University and the University of North Carolina, NC State, and a number of other very well-known colleges and universities. It's an area that's known for the high rate of academic success. Here we have quite a number of people with advanced degrees. It will soon be the home of Apple Computer East Coast headquarters. And so I think that it's a very exciting place to live. I am a physician who's been practicing for a number of years. I started my career at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, and that was a really good place to learn medicine. I spent 3 years after that in Chicago training in pediatrics. I practiced pediatrics in Cincinnati, Ohio for a while and really enjoy pediatrics, but I recognized that I really enjoy dermatology as well. So I went back and trained at the Bowman Gray School of Medicine in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I've established a private practice here in the Durham area and have been here for 26 plus years now.
Wow.
Well, time flies.
It does fly. It definitely does.
Yes, so it does.
I wanted to ask you, now they say it's very good to have your dermatologist do a regular checkup with you yearly. Is that something that you suggest as a dermatologist yourself?
Yes, I think there's a group of patients that would benefit most from having an annual exam. As it is now, it's very difficult for many people to see dermatologists. There's a shortage of them in the major centers where they seem to congregate the most. If you go to any big city, there's plenty of dermatologists. If you go to small towns, there tends not to be as many. But people who are at higher risk, people who have had exposure to lots of sun in their lifetime, people who have spent a lot of time outdoors, either from their vocation like farming or perhaps as a lifeguard or working in construction, those people are at high risk for developing skin cancers. People who are very light in skin color. We have a scale that we use to grade different types of skin color. So there's something called the Fitzpatrick scale, and it goes anywhere from 1 to 6, 1 being someone very fair, and then 6 being someone very dark. So people who tend to have skin types 1, 2, 3, 6 through up to about 3 are people who really do need to consider having their skin checked on an annual basis, particularly if they're from certain parts of the country. If I'm from Minnesota and spend most of my time indoors because the weather's so cold,
yeah,
my risk is much lower than, say, if I'm from Miami,
right,
Alabama.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I also hear that tanning beds are something that we should be cautious of. You know, all over the United States, people are very engulfed in trying to improve their skin color and make themselves look as beautiful as possible. And a lot of people are into tanning beds and into getting their colors to a certain level and a certain degree. Now, what is your feel about tanning beds?
Well, tanning beds have been a subject of a lot of discussion in the dermatology community. A number of dermatologists in various states have worked to establish some guidelines about how tanning beds are used. The problem with tanning beds is that they can really accelerate the risk or increase the risk of developing skin cancer, and particularly the most deadly type, melanoma. The fastest growing group of people who are developing melanoma now are young women somewhere between the ages of 15 and about 35 and 40. And this sometimes is associated with the use of tanning beds over their lifetime. A tanning bed can increase your risk of skin cancer by 10% with just a single use.
Wow.
Think about it, yeah, it's a really high number. And it I think that people sometimes underestimate it. The number one reason that people use tanning beds is for the prom. People want to look nice to go to the prom. They want to be very even in color.
Yes.
With their skin that you can see and skin you can't see as easily. And so you'll find that people develop a habit of using it around that particular time and may continue to use it for many years. There's a historic piece of information, I think, that kind of helps a little bit to understand. Back in the early part of the 20th century, people would associate people with darker skin with those who work in fields with manual labor. I'm not talking about ethnic differences in people where you say, you know, some people are from Southern Italy or African-American. I'm thinking more along the lines of Caucasian people. So if you were darker, it was because you were working in a particular industry where you were outside and maybe
right.
lesser status. And having very light skin was seen as the epitome of beauty. As time went on and people developed more travel habits outside of the United States during the winter months, you would associate having a tan at a time when others were very fair as being a sign of status. You were able to afford to travel to
right.
the islands in January, February, March. And so it developed a status at that particular time. If you look at some of the magazines like Vogue and some of the fashion magazines, they would show people like that at
yeah.
different times. So that's the change in mindset that's taking place. So now we associate it with beauty and health in a way that we did not before. So tanning beds are things that, you know, if given a choice, we'd probably recommend that people didn't use them
right.
at all. We now have some artificial tanning material that people can put on that looks really good. It's
yeah.
very close. The original things I used to see made a person look very orange.
Yes.
Now I think it's hard to tell sometimes when people have had artificial tans. And so I think I'd much rather see my patients use that than to spend their time in the tan.
Right. Now, I heard that, you know, that some of the states are actually banning them. Is that true? The tanning beds?
Not necessarily banning them because it's an industry you're not ever going to get rid of, but you
okay.
have some restrictions on it. So for instance,
I see.
The issue is many people are under 18. Can a person under 18 go and have use of the tanning bed? And that's something that's come up in our state of North Carolina, where you want to at least have a person become 18 before they can go and use these devices.
Okay.
If they get a consent from a parent, they may be able to consider using it under that age, but you would need a parental consent under 18.
Oh, I see. So they've made it, they've put more restrictions on it to, you know, make it safer for, you know, according to what audience and age group and so forth.
Yes, because the bulk of the people who are using it are younger people.
Right.
You still have some people that are willing to use it in their 40s and 50s. I see occasionally people like that.
Yeah.
Many times those people have very leathered skin and they have prematurely aged themselves. But, you know, as a side note too, one of the things that happens is that people get an endorphin release, you know, release of these feel-good chemicals in your brain.
Really?
Associated with the sun. You know, I can speak from personal experience. I don't know if you've ever been in the dreary, dark winter of certain parts of the country and snowy and tired and cold and the
yeah.
days in short. And you go travel somewhere very very sunny and very beautiful. And I mean, you can, I mean, it doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't.
Realize how different you feel almost immediately.
Yes.
I mean, it's astounding how quickly it works. And so there are some great benefits to the sun, and there's some great positive behavior that comes around with it. You need the sun to get an appropriate amount of vitamin D. And so there are some really great things about sun use, but I think we've developed a problem now. The number one cancer in the United States is skin cancer.
Yes.
And so the bulk of them not being melanoma, as I discussed, they're basal cell carcinoma and squamous cell carcinoma, but we do have quite a number of people that get skin cancer in the United States.
Now, I know you were mentioning about anti-aging. Anti-aging is very big in the United States. Everybody wants to stay young for as long as they can. And you see people now really going overboard. You know, they'll spend, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to do whatever it takes to try to make themselves look younger. And to, you know, they want that young look. They don't care what age they are. They just want to look young. And, you know, that makes them feel good as an individual. Now, you mentioned slightly for a few seconds that it could affect your anti-aging, your skin. It could hurt actually your skin and the way it looks.
Sure. Sun exposure is probably one of the biggest reasons why people age the way that they do. I always, you know, I examine patients sometimes with their clothes off and see various areas. If you ever look at a person who's older, who has quite a bit of sun damage on their arms and face, and then compare their face and arms to, say, their back or maybe their buttocks or something, it's very different.
Yeah.
You can see a vast difference between those particular areas. I always give the example of the difference between the lateral side of your arm and the side that is closest to your body. As people age, you can see a big difference there. So sun exposure leads to damages, the creation of this thing we talk about called free radicals, where you develop damaged DNA as a result of free radicals. The body has to stop that particular cell and then repair it and then allow it to go about its business in terms of dividing and being a normal cell. And we have many mechanisms in place in the body to do that. But as we age, it becomes less reliable.
Right.
Like so many other things, it becomes less reliable and people are more likely to develop skin cancer. So anti-aging products, number one, you want to focus on making sure that you don't give yourself too much sun. So something such as makeup or perhaps some kind of sunscreen, a moisturizer with sunscreen on a regular basis is the number one thing you would start with. After that, we have what's called a cosmetic ladder, where you start at the very bottom and you can move to the very top. The top being really aggressive things like surgery for all sorts of things, be it the Brazilian butt lift or breast implants or anything. These are very big topics right now.
Yes, they are.
They're very big topics and very popular right now. I just saw a statistic a couple weeks ago that said 20% of Latino and women of color have had a Brazilian butt lift. That is a very big number.
It is
a very big 20% of the population. But so that's the extreme. But after you move beyond sunscreens, you can move to, you know, vitamin A creams like Retin-A. There are other procedures that are a bit more that are just the beginning of some of these things, such as microdermabrasion, chemical peels, laser treatments. Those are nice things that can be used to help preserve the skin and to enhance the skin. Mm-hmm. There's Botox, which can decrease the movement of various muscles on your face. You can have it such that if you notice on TV, no one moves their forehead anymore.
No, they don't.
They do not. And if you look closely at many people, you can see where they had their Botox. So oftentimes I will see people have two large circles right here. Mm-hmm. And then the skin moves a little bit here and then moves a little bit out here. So it tells you a lot about where they've had it.
Yes.
So that's become a sign of youth. And then there are fillers. You fill in the lines that naturally come as we smile, the smile lines or the parentheses that people talk about. Those are things that are done. Those are probably the two most common cosmetic procedures in the United States, the use of those things. And you can go beyond that. We have, you know, microneedling, which we use here, where you deliver a little energy under the skin that can help with anti-aging, and it can help with tightening the muscles and making this, the collagen look better. So there's a wide range of choices available now that people can discover to help with this particular undertaking.
Now, what's safe and what's not? Because people go to all extremities to try to keep themselves looking young. But some of these things, I'm sure, are unhealthy and can hurt you. And some of these things are okay to do. So, you know, if you had to make a little list, what are some of the things you would suggest maybe people might consider harmful to the body? And maybe you should just stay away from those types of procedures or creams or whatever.
Yes, I think that this is a good question. I think that you're going to have to consider the source of the information that you're getting. So for instance, there are a number of people in the United States that die every year from Brazilian butt lifts that have gone wrong.
Oh, wow. Really?
Oh my gosh. There are a number of doctors they weren't doctors. There are a number of people who've been put in jail as a result of doing things. People were injecting silicone that you use to non-medical grade silicone, things that you would buy at Home Depot, and injecting it into people's bodies, causing death and causing all sorts of trauma and difficulty.
Yeah.
Why people choose to go to these people who are not medically trained and have some of these procedures done is still unclear to me. I think you have to be very cautious about that.
Yeah.
Granted, it's at a lesser price. I think that's part of it, that people can get some things done without having to spend as much money.
Yeah.
I think that's a very high-risk procedure. You have people who are also going and having Botox used at these Botox parties and other things. Again, non-medical providers, people sometimes using Botox that was originally planned to be used for other animals and things that were not non-human uses. That was a problem for a while. People have died from such things happening before.
Yeah.
I think many of these procedures are quite good if you can get them done by professionals. That does mean you're going to pay a bit more.
Yeah.
And I think if you're having someone do something that's that big to your body, I think you need to be very sure that they're comfortable doing it, they're medically trained.
Right.
And if it costs you a bit more, it's worth a bit more.
Yes, I agree.
Because you want to have these things done safely when they can go awry. They really can go awry. So those are things that I think people have to be cautious about. The other thing you have to think about is, you know, are the products and things you're getting actually the real thing?
Yeah.
As I mentioned about the Botox, people getting Botox, sure, it's Botox, but it's not Botox that should go in a human body.
Wow.
And so when you decide to do some of these things that you are doing to make yourself look better, to be anti-aging, you have to accept the fact that they are not going to be cheap. They are things that are going to require that you invest a certain amount.
Right.
To get the benefits in a safe manner.
Yeah.
So the safety to me is one of the biggest issues. You don't want to hurt yourself along the way doing it. Most of these other things I've talked about, like chemical peels. Well, I'll give you a perfect example of a chemical peel story where it went awry. There are various, a chemical peel is where you go and someone applies a substance to your skin.
Mm-hmm.
It causes some irritation.
Mm-hmm.
It's then neutralized. And then with time, the body will regenerate the skin faster than it would if you hadn't had the procedure.
Right.
So that's something that can be done. And oftentimes there are professionals that know how to do it. I had a patient that came to see me once. She had gone online and purchased some solution for a chemical peel and had applied it to herself. Now, she had not done it before. She applied something to her skin and left it on for several hours. For something that probably needed to be on for just a few minutes.
Oh, wow.
She had permanently burned herself and scarred herself in a way that really looked horrible.
Oh.
She was coming to ask if there's something I could do at this point, and there was nothing I could do.
Right.
But she was not professionally trained, and she was not aware of what she was asking for and what she was doing.
Wow.
And you can get a lot of things out there to use, some of them quite strong. And she was permanently scarred in a way. And she was a young woman. I think she was probably in her early 30s. To me, that's young.
Yeah.
And had permanently scarred herself in a way that no makeup would ever be able to cover that.
That's
problem.
So sad. Oh my goodness. And you know what I've also noticed is that I've even known a couple of people who have left the country and gotten the procedures done in another country because it was cheaper What's your view on that? When people like go to other countries, the regulations are different. The FDA laws are different. Everything's totally, you know, different in these other countries, but they're going there. They're getting it for a cheaper price. You know, I don't know if a medical doctor is doing it or not, but what's your feel? What's your take on that?
Yes. Well, I'd like to travel to the Caribbean. I was in the Dominican Republic just a few weeks ago, and there are many clinics in Punta Cana that are specializing in the cosmetic procedures that you described. So that can be a breast implant, a tummy tuck, Brazilian butt lifts, and things like liposuction. I'm trained by the American medical system, and there are certain things in place as far as safety and regulations and oversight that I think are important for someone's safety. I don't in any way mean to say that these other doctors in other countries are not adequately trained, because I don't know that. Many of them are quite skilled. But what you may not have are some of the safeguards in place for when things go wrong. Right. And things go wrong at times. Maybe that the surgeon is quite good, but maybe they don't have some of the support that you might need.
Right.
When people have some of these procedures done, such as having a liposuction, or if someone had a Brazilian butt lift, those things can really cause people to be uncomfortable for a long period of time. And they can be quite bruised. They'd be hard to sit on a plane and to return.
Right.
So sometimes people are staying at these places for weeks and weeks afterwards. So oftentimes when someone will choose to do something like that, it's because it's a money issue.
Yeah.
And I do understand these things are expensive. I'm not sure it's worth taking a chance with your health.
Right. Right. Now, you also mentioned that there are other things that you can also do to make yourself look younger. Now, you mentioned creams. Like, are there specific types of creams that could help with anti-aging that are good for your body that you might suggest that, you know, have been effective on other individuals?
Sure. So I would say some of the creams you mentioned. So, for instance, dollar for dollar, the best use of your money for anti-aging is something that's called a retinoid, which is a vitamin A cream. So that's a cream that's something like Retin-A and many other types. There's one called Tazorac and others that have been proven to be very effective towards evening skin tone, tightening the collagen a bit.
Yes.
You can look at before and after pictures microscopically of the skin, and you know, it makes a big difference. It's something you have to use very long term. And I tell most patients you're considering using this maybe for years to come.
Right.
But it has a true benefit. It's not terribly expensive. We talked a bit there are various serums that people can use. For instance, vitamin C is very popular as an antioxidant that supposedly scavenges free radicals, meaning it absorbs extra free radicals in the body in a way that other vitamins may not do. So that's applied topically. And then there's a bevy of other creams and solutions that have reported benefits that can be helpful. You know, for some time people were using chocolate, people were using gold, people were using just a host of things. There's always something new.
Yeah.
There's always something new.
Yeah.
You'll find that medical products have to meet a certain criteria. So for instance, if I'm going to use a blood pressure medicine, it has to be proven that it actually lowers my blood pressure.
Right.
When you're talking about cosmetics, be it some of these over-the-counter things, they don't necessarily have to prove that they work. They just have to prove that they're not going to harm you.
Exactly.
So you go to the cosmetic counter and people make all sorts of claims, and they just have to be sure that it's not going to harm anyone. So I think you have to be aware of what it is that you're asking and the source that it comes from. So the prescription strength products for vitamin A, for instance, are much stronger than the ones that you might find in the department stores.
Right.
Things of that nature. By law, they're only allowed to use things of a certain strength.
Now, how do you know as an individual or consumer, how do you know what's good and what's bad? Like, there are so many products out there, you know, weekly by weekly, monthly by monthly, more products come out and people are making all these claims of, you know, keeping your skin young, keeping you, you know, youthful, you know, anti-wrinkle, anti-aging, anti-this, anti-that. How does a consumer know what to look for? Are there specific things they should be aware of when they are trying to find the proper cream or serum?
That's an excellent question, because there are so many products. I mean, even if I just looked at the numbers of products that come across my desk, and I happen to be able to see and try as a result of working in the dermatology field. It's just always something new, and it changes constantly. It is a very hard thing to decide. I will say this, by law, again, there are a limitation to what it is that you are allowed to provide to someone without a prescription. Mm-hmm. So your vitamin A creams can be quite good that you get from a prescription standpoint. They are much milder when you get them from over-the-counter products. Again, sunscreens are, I think they go almost without saying that using something with a sunscreen is really important. And for many people, when we're discussing sunscreens, which again was the first thing I talked about, the most important thing is what sunscreen are you prepared to use?
Right.
You can have a ranking of 20 different sunscreens, but if you don't like the consistency, the smell, your appearance when you put it on, and you're not going to use it, it doesn't really matter where it ranks.
Right.
So you have to find something like that that works. I think anything that's a sunscreen that's a level of 15 or above is perfectly adequate.
Okay.
There are everyday sunscreens, and then there are go to the beach sunscreens. And so you would ideally choose something on a regular basis. You put it on in the winter, you put it on in the summer, mm-hmm. that you feel comfortable putting on your skin, your face primarily, and it will protect you from the sun. So there are countless over-the-counter products. You do not have to go to the department store to get them. Of course, they're going to charge you a lot more.
Yeah.
The packaging is quite elegant.
Yes.
Smell is quite good. The appearance, the bottles and everything quite good. They're no better than the products you can go to the drugstore and buy with packaging that's not quite as elegant and without the sales lady to help.
Right.
So I think that there's a really good number of product lines that you can use. We use one in particular I really, really like called Aven. It's from France. You can get it some online and you can get some from the dermatologist. They are...
¿Sabías que la fecha de Labor Day celebra el esfuerzo laboral de más de 155 millones de trabajadores en el país y que la primera celebración se llevó a cabo en Nueva York el 5 de septiembre en 1982? Si tu plan es celebrar con marihuana, recuerda que sus componentes pueden disminuir tu tiempo de reacción al manejar, deteriorar tu rendimiento cognitivo y dificultar tu capacidad para mantener una posición fija en tu carril. Si te sientes diferente, manejas diferente. Drive High. Get a DUI. Pagado por NHTSA.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Promoted by a company that's been around for probably 150 years.
Oh, wow.
They have some excellent products with some clinical studies to show that they're beneficial for a number of things. In Europe, the over-the-counter products are treated differently than they are here. So in the United States, you have two very big divides. You have prescription products and you have over-the-counter products. But in Europe, they have a third category that's somewhere in the middle. The pharmacist will talk to you. They'll come from around the back of the counter and they'll talk to you and they will offer you products that have, they're a mix somewhere between prescription products and non-prescription products. And they have active ingredients and all sorts of benefits in a way that are different than what we're used to having here. And this product line I'm talking about, Aven, is a very good product line in that regard. So I think Aven is one of my favorite product lines. There are some other ones like Cetaphil and Eucerin and Aveeno that are all quite good. Again, not the fancy packaging, not the nice sales lady to help you, but they're very good. They're very good.
Now, you talk about a daily SPF, and then you talk about the beach SPF. What's your recommendations for a daily one versus the beach one? What would you suggest for each of them?
So again, a daily one with an SPF level of 15 and above is fine. There are ones that are made particularly for the face, and they tend to be a little thinner in terms of how thick they are on the skin.
Right.
And so again, those product lines I just mentioned all carry something like that. That's something you can put on. It doesn't have a strong smell of the sunscreen in a way when you go to the beach. Now, sunscreens that you use to go to the beach are important from the standpoint that, again, you want to put it, you're going to put it in broader areas, you're going to use it more. You usually, when you're at that, at the beach, you're going to be sweating and you're going to be in water.
Yeah.
And so you need things that are very thick that stay on the skin. The active ingredients in sunscreen are something along the lines like water. If you pour it on your skin, it would just run off, but you have to mix it in something to get it to stay on the skin. So you use things at the beach that are going to be much thicker and much heavier and stay on better. So I like Blue Lizard for the beach. I like a host of things. We carry our own sunscreen, which we have been promoting for a number of years. This particular one I have highlighted for use with people of color because if you'll find that among groups of people who have browner skin, the incidence of skin cancer is much lower.
Oh, really?
It's not zero, but the incidence is much lower.
Yeah.
And so you'll find that many people are not raised with the habit of using sunscreens on a regular basis in an effort to prevent skin cancer.
Right.
Darker people tend to have about 1/10 the risk of people who are lighter.
Wow. Skin
for skin cancer, but it's not zero.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I encourage people to do is, you know, I think there are groups of people that need to be targeted a little more. I do see this in advertising a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Letting people know that, yes, it's important that they use sunscreen to prevent skin cancer, and anyone can burn.
Yeah.
Certainly as with the sun, the way it is, every year is some record heat that we're having, and it seems every year is going to be record heat that we're having. People need to protect their skin as well.
Now, when it comes to vitamins or supplements, is there anything that you suggest that would help with wrinkles and dry skin and so forth? Because you see, like, a lot of people suffer from dry skin and a lot of people suffer from, you know, getting wrinkles earlier. And sometimes that's just hereditary. But is there anything they can do to kind of, you know, slow down the process?
You know, if you mentioned vitamins, vitamins are things that fall into that category again of things that have to prove that they don't harm you, but don't necessarily have to prove that they are going to be of benefit.
Right.
It's a massive multi-billion-dollar industry.
It is.
People using vitamins. If you go to any vitamin store, there's countless claims.
Yes.
Again, the proof doesn't have to be established from a scientific standpoint as well. People often give anecdote or I've heard about this and I've heard about that and just lots of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if a person eats a nice, healthy diet, they probably don't need to have a lot of supplementation in terms of vitamin use. I haven't got yet to talk about skin, but I will in a moment. And so I think that's important. A good, healthy diet, leafy green vegetables, focusing on, you know, high quality food. There are vitamins that have been identified as being important for your skin in ways that others aren't.
Mm-hmm.
As much so as, for instance, vitamin D is found on the skin. You need to get some sun to have it activated by the sun. Now, if you aren't getting a lot of sun, your vitamin D level might be low, and that can lead to various problems, both inside the body and some associated with the skin. So I think that's a vitamin to consider some supplementation. There's ways to have it checked, vitamin D level checked by your doctor to find out if you need to take that. People often will mention vitamin E for healing. I think that's of some debate. Of course, we talked about vitamin C earlier. That is an antioxidant. It's again, free radical scavenger. If you took a vitamin that's a daily multivitamin, you're probably covering most of your bases. The bulk of vitamins are what we call water soluble, meaning the body takes in what it wants and what it doesn't need. It just releases in the urine.
Right.
There are some vitamins that are associated with fat that go in and they work a little bit longer. They tend to stay in the body a little bit longer. They tend to get people in trouble a little bit more. If you take way too much beyond the recommended daily allowance, you'll find many supplements have way in excess of the recommended daily allowance with the idea that if a little is good, a lot's got to be better. And that's not necessarily true. So you mentioned so those are the things we talk about in terms of anti-aging. You mentioned dry skin. Dry skin is the result of how much oil you have and you produce and what kind of environment are you in. So people obviously feel like they are drier in the winter than they are in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the lower humidity, less sun. things like that. Also, as we age, your skin gets a bit drier.
Right.
I remember being in my teens and early 20s, and I just thought that I would always be that oily. In fact, it was way too much. Most of us, you know, have oily strips all over our skin. It has a lot to do with our hormone levels.
Right.
You have a very high testosterone level, very high estrogen level at that point in your life. And you'll find that people will be at that particular point, and that changes as time goes on. And so dry skin is something that can be helped with moisturizers. And the way that these things really work is that they don't necessarily add moisture back to the skin, mm-hmm. but normally your skin is evaporating water all the time. It's called insensible losses. So this water just comes off the skin all the time.
Right.
And what you'll do with a moisturizer is you put it on top of the skin and it locks in some of the moisture that's naturally escaping from your body every day.
Right.
So there's a countless range, countless numbers of moisturizers. Back to the point again of using the ones that are ones you're prepared to use. The mm-hmm. thicker they are, the better they tend to moisturize.
Oh, really?
And, okay. Yeah, not everyone likes that. You know, people will put things on and they're water-based and they'll rub it in their hands and they'll say, oh, it goes in really well. And what's really happened is a lot of the water's just evaporated.
Oh, and I see.
It may not be that it's going out into the air, not necessarily into the skin. So I think that, you know, a heavier moisturizer tends to be a little bit better. I tend to recommend ones that don't have as much fragrance. People sometimes are allergic to fragrance, but there are some with fragrance that are just fantastic and really wonderful things. In fact, I was just thinking about one in particular. We carry one in our product line, which has gotten a lot of attention. We carry a product line which has a number of moisturizers.
I can see it.
Yep, a little too close, okay.
Oh, so it's shea butter. I like
Yes, it. And this has been one that's been very popular. And it smells like heaven, and I love it. And
that locks in the moisture.
Yes, it's a nice thicker moisturizer, and it locks the moisture into the skin. Yes, so we, I think we have a lot of great choices here. I was surprised at many different choices when I traveled to Europe and saw how different some of the products are. But we have many good choices.
I've also noticed that a lot of people, even in their older age, still have oily skin. And a lot of people, they don't just get pimples. Sometimes from the oily skin, they get what they are, cyst pimples, you know, the mm-hmm. larger pimples. Now, why is it that so many people, you know, suffer from that, you know, that oily skin where they consistently break out, but they're in their 40s and 50s and maybe even older, but they still are suffering from that oily skin?
Sure. So it's primarily based on hormones, although there's more than one type of acne. So the type of acne you see with teenagers and people in their early 20s looks a certain way. And then as we get older, we develop this different type of adult acne, which we call rosacea. Mm-hmm. Many times that's associated with redness on the skin, but not always. So if you're looking at a person that has browner skin, it may show up as the type of acne you're talking about. And there's some debate about what the cause is of that. We know hormones do play a role. You'll mm-hmm. find people who in their menopause years will develop a lot more trouble with acne. And you'll see that, you know, postmenopausal people mm-hmm. change a lot and their acne tends to get better. I always say if you go to a place where they have a lot of older people, mm-hmm. you'll notice there's not a lot of people sitting around with acne.
That's true.
It's not because they were so great at taking care of their skin. It's just a particular point in life.
Yeah.
The hormones are lower. And
right.
Sex hormones like testosterone and estrogen are lower, and they don't have as much. You know, that's a great benefit. There are a few things that come with lower testosterone levels and estrogen levels that are not always things that we like.
Right. Now, is there anything you suggest for people who are suffering from, you know, oily skin?
So people with oily skin, I think there are things. If your concern is oiliness, there is a product you can buy that can be used on top of the skin that can absorb oil. It's over the counter. It's called OC8, like the letter O and the letter C8. And it's something that used to be used in the makeup industry for people who were on sets and things, doing things like that. And you can buy it over the counter and you put it on top of skin and it absorbs the oil. So that it's not perfect. It's not going to make it so you have no oil,
mm-hmm.
understand, but it can help decrease the amount that you have. The amount of oil that you do develop and you produce, again, is an internally regulated item. I think people think, well, if I drink a little of this and I eat a little bit of that, my skin won't be quite as oily. And
yeah,
that's not necessarily the case.
Right. Now, people that, you know, sometimes in your DNA, you'll see people that age quicker than others. Sometimes you'll look at someone's mother or father, or you'll look at their grandparents and they have beautiful skin and they tend to not have a lot of wrinkles on them. And they may be in their 70s and still, or 80s, and they still have youthful looking skin. And then you have some people who get wrinkles from an early on age. Now, is there anything, if a wrinkles run in your family and you tend, your skin tends to wrinkle at an early age, is there anything a woman or a man can do, if it runs in the family DNA wise, to help them slow down the wrinkle process and to keep their skin more youthful looking?
Sure. So I think I had discussed earlier about the use of the vitamin A creams.
Oh,
and I don't mean to be redundant about
it. No, not at all.
Dollar for dollar, that's your best use of your medicine, your money for anti-aging. So how does it work? It goes into the skin and the skin absorbs this vitamin A and it changes, literally changes the skin. It promotes even skin tone. It decreases wrinkles. So in the very beginning, if you can start some of these things very early, they have some benefits. So maybe people start in their 20s and just get in the habit of using these creams just once at night,
right,
on a regular basis. What we see now is people are also starting to use Botox at an earlier age too. So there was a time people would choose to use Botox once they had already established that they had some lines that they wanted to slow down or get rid of. But now you have people who are getting it at in their 20s in an effort to prevent the development of wrinkles altogether. Wrinkles will come both for environmental reasons, sun, gravity, and then they also come sometimes because of things that people do. So for instance, people that smoke tend to get a little more wrinkles, particularly in certain areas around their mouth.
Yeah.
There are things that people go out and get too much sun. If I don't know if you ever visited the desert Southwest, but if you've ever been to the desert Southwest and you look at the skin of many people out there who are fair in skin, you'll see that it's very leathered. Again, we talked about the sun, so the sun exposure. So sunscreen, vitamin A creams, maybe early Botox. Those are things that can be used in an effort to try to prevent the development of wrinkles long-term.
Now, when it comes to Botox, sometimes I see people do, to me personally, they overdo it. And then you start to see people, they don't look human anymore. They kind of look more robotic looking. Like, what's your intake about Botox? When does someone start using Botox, and how much Botox can a person have so they can have a natural look and not have that unnatural robotic look to their face? Because I was sitting next to, you know, some people who are like on TV, and I was having dinner, and I looked over, and the amount of Botox and the amount of cosmetic surgery they had on their face, they no longer looked human anymore. They looked more like robotic, you know. It was like, you know,
sure,
you know
it, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And many things we're talking about are very personal in nature.
Yeah.
So, you know, we certainly use Botox here and fillers, and we aim for a natural appearance.
Yes.
I have a little bit of Botox I'm using now. And so I still want to be able to move my eyebrows.
Right.
Not everyone wants that. They would prefer if they didn't move their eyebrows. They prefer if they didn't have any of that. And to them, that is a better beauty aesthetic than perhaps having some movement at all.
I see.
The same thing with the fillers, like where people getting, you know, one of the things I did leave out, which I didn't discuss earlier, were lip fillers too.
Yeah.
That's a very popular topic. That's probably the third or fourth most common cosmetic procedure in the United States. And so I think that some of the things that people do, just like you are, it looks unnatural.
Right.
But when they look at themselves in the mirror, they see something different.
Right.
And you know, far be it for me to be able to tell someone that I think that they shouldn't look like that.
Right.
People who are prepared to give them the look that they want.
Yeah.
And I completely agree. I think that it's gotten, you know, somewhat out of hand. If you look at some of your favorite actors and actresses that used to be on TV years ago, and they're trying to hold on to their fame and their fortune, and they'll go and have things done that just don't look normal. And again, I'm not someone that can judge, but I do think some people are just done entirely too much.
Right, right. Now you have a product line that you were telling me about, and you have quite a bit of a number of products. Can you tell me about some of the products that you offer in your because you have a website and everything for it?
Sure. So we have a number of things that we offer. I have two websites that focus on this. One is called NCCD Dermatology, nccdermatology.com. And it talks about our cosmetic services and our medical services, and also highlights some of our products. And I discussed a few of them earlier. This is an example of some of our products that we have on that website. This is a body polish that's very popular. We have lotions that come along that as well. We have some nice moisturizers, and these are things that are popular and people enjoy, and they really help people feel good and they moisturize. But I developed a product line, or curated a product line, that has been focused on assisting with shaving. Mm-hmm. Shaving is something that so many of us do, and yet there are a lot of problems that come along with shaving, mm-hmm. removal of hair in various areas. And so what I did was took some of the training I've had in dermatology and brought some of that training into over-the-counter choices that people can have in effort to decrease their shaving difficulty. So for instance, many people with coarse hair have difficulty with shaving. They will shave the hair and the hair will try to grow back out of the skin, and they'll develop scarring. Mm. So in an effort to minimize that, when I have developed, for instance, a little system here that can be used. So I highly recommend that people are shaving. This can be for men or for women, mm-hmm. and it can be on the face and it can be in other locations, but you need some kind of pre-shave oil. And so this is one that we carry in the Dr. Clear Skin product line. Again, that's a separate website, but you wash your face, you put a little pre-shave oil on prior to shaving. And even prior to that, there is a microdermabrasion cream, which I recommend. So going back to correct that, I would say, wash your face, use a microdermabrasion cream, mm-hmm. such as this, where you are taking the small beads and you're using it in a circular manner to dislodge hairs that have grown in thickened skin. Then you put on the pre-shave oil, which I had discussed previously.
Yes.
Then you shave. And then afterwards, you should use something again with a retinoid in it that I had discussed earlier.
Right.
Retinoids, and again, are good for anti-aging, but they also have been shown to be beneficial for people who have shaving difficulties. So you would follow up with something that has some kind of retinoid in it, like this particular moisturizer. Mm-hmm. And so this combination of three things are supplements to your shaving thing that you go through at home, be it legs,
yes,
or face, mm-hmm. or underarms, trying to minimize some of the common shaving problems that people have. There are a lot of people that develop all sorts of scarring and ingrown hairs and things as a result of shaving. I think more attention needs to be paid for something that all of us do so commonly.
Yeah. And I've even noticed, and I've had friends also that after they have shaved, they actually break out. They start getting, redness around, the pores of the skin. Sometimes there's bubbling, and sometimes it looks like a rash almost, and, a lot of my friends have gotten scared because they didn't know what was happening. And I said, I think it's because of the shaving. I said, did you just shave? And they're like, yeah, I shaved, Now, is this something that pre-spray could actually help with, make it smoother, make it and help maybe prevent? Or is there something you could suggest for the people like that who have such sensitive skin that they're actually getting a rash-like look on their face or on their legs from shaving?
Sure. So there are a number of reasons why that can be the case. So for instance, one of the things I see with ladies often is they will shave their legs, but they don't want to use shave cream. And I ask them why, and they said, well, I don't want to shave like a man does. The point is that you're using shave cream to decrease the friction,
right,
to moisturize the skin, to make it easier to remove the hair without damaging the skin.
Right.
So, ladies, they'll put a little soap on and they'll shave. And I'm not saying every lady does this, but I see it so often. I'm just really surprised. So something like the pre-shave oil, something like the microdermabrasion cream can dislodge difficult hairs. And then it can decrease the friction. So as you shave, you aren't nicking yourself as much.
Yeah.
Another issue is that people don't seem to change their razors very often. Mm-hmm. Some of these hairs that people have are very coarse, particularly when you look at the area where people are shaving in a private area and they're shaving in some underarms and everything, those hairs are a different caliber. They're a lot thicker yes. sometimes than the facial hair. So
right.
It doesn't take much to take a clean and sharpened blade and to make it so that it's not as clean and not as sharp.
Right.
So oftentimes, again, people are using very expensive razors with expensive costs. Some of the blades are like $6-7 a blade, which I think is entirely too much.
Yeah.
Much rather see people use a slightly cheaper blade, still high quality, and to change it more frequently than
right.
to use it the way that they have been using it. So changing the blade, people talk to me about changing their blade once every month or so, and I think it's entirely yeah. too little.
Right.
Your legs or your underarm or your face. And as I mentioned, being clean, sometimes if you have that blade, you're introducing bacteria to the skin.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the rash that you may have, and we all have normal bacteria in the skin, but sometimes there's abnormal bacteria in the skin. And as you break the skin,
right.
with shaving techniques, germs get in there that are not healthy and they can lead to all sorts of infections. So that again is another concern. So, you know, the products I had talked about previously is an attempt to try to minimize some of the factors that come into play here, be it friction, lack of moisture, mm-hmm. The need for maybe a retinoid to try to decrease the ingrown hairs, things like that.
Now, you know, I think everything that you have said has been so helpful, and you've gone over so many different topics that I think so many people, you know, endure in their daily lives, you know, are curious about. And I have to say, I thank you so much for being on our show. You've gone, you know, over and beyond to educate our listeners, and you've done an excellent job. And I want to thank you for all this information. But before we go, can you just tell people one more time your website, where they can reach you, and if you have any questions, also where they can email you at?
Sure. So we have a website, and it's nccdermatology.com. That is the practice website. I can be reached there through email, and it's a good way to learn a bit about medical procedures as well as cosmetic procedures that are available. And then the other website I have is getdrclearskin.com, getdrclearskin.com. That highlights the products that we discussed about shaving. And again, that can be helpful to decrease the shaving problems that people have. And so I look forward to hearing from anyone that will have some questions or perhaps wants to consider some different products.
And before we go, would you like to tell the audience anything, any tips or any advice before we go that you might like to share with everybody?
Are you speaking in relation to skin?
whatever you know, you feel is beneficial.
Sure. I think that to me, of course, as a dermatologist, the skin is the most important organ in the body.
Yes.
I would say that. And I'm sure the cardiologists and the nurses can all feel their way. They're wrong, but still, I do understand what they're thinking. But I think that it's important to be very gentle with the things that you do with your body, be it your skin or otherwise. I think that when we're young, we take for granted a lot of the wonderful things that we have.
Yes.
That old saying, youth is wasted on the young, is as true as anything I've ever heard. And that,
right.
You know, appreciate things when they're going well. When your skin is at its best, you
yes.
know, if you're baking it in the tanning bed, or if you're not putting on some sunscreen, or you're, you know, too rough with your shaving, or you're, you know, you let your acne get out of hand, you're hurting an important part of your body that can be your friend and can be something that you are proud of over the course of years. It's one of the things you see most often. So people just need to learn to be gentle and to take care of themselves and their skin, in a way that you might do if you were telling a friend. If someone came to you and asked for advice, the kind of advice you might give them, you need to speak to yourself in the same way.
Right.
Be careful with the very valuable assets you have.
I think that's excellent. You know, and people, we do take for granted what we have until we lose it. And that's when we realize how valuable, you know, certain things in our lives are, you know, once we don't have them anymore. So thank you very much. You know, it's been a wonderful discussion. Thank you so much for coming on this show, Dr. Scales. And thank you so much for all the valuable information you provided to our audience. And I look forward to maybe having you back on the show. We could discuss more about dermatology and different areas of dermatology. And thank you so much.
Thank you again for having me. I appreciate it.
You have a great day.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.